Good evening, everyone. We are about to begin learning about Shmona Esrei. We've just concluded Birchos Kriyishma. We've made an introduction about Shmona Esrei itself. And now we're beginning the first bracha of Avos. The source of reciting Avos as the first bracha of Shmona Esrei is found in the Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara quotes a brayos which says, Minayin Sha'amru Avos. How do you know we have to say Avos? Shenemar, Havu Lashem B'nei Elim. You have to render to Hashem the B'nei Elim. And Rabbi Nachmanel there explains that the Re'elim means people who are strong. And these are the Avos who are Giburi HaTorah Mitzvah. They were warriors or strong people who embodied the Torah Mitzvos. And therefore it's appropriate to make a bracha commemorating these individuals. As we mentioned, one of the reasons why we have the Shmona Esrei Brachos is to correspond to the 18 times that it says Shem Hashem in Tehillim Chavtes. And the first pasuk in this parak discusses where I mentioned Shem Hashem is where it says Ha'ul Hashem B'nei Elim, and therefore the first bracha is going to be Avos, corresponding to this first pasuk. The importance of this bracha is actually found in Halacha. The Shulchan Aruch in Siman Or Chaim Siman Kuf Aleph, Sif Aleph, says that a person ideally should have kavana in all the brachos of Shmona Esrei, but if he's not able to have kavana in all of them, at least have kavana in the first one in Birchas Avos. And if you can't have kavanah even for that, he has to actually go back. The Rambam says, nowadays we don't have kavanah anyways, so it's ideally better to move forward and not go back and say the bracha another time. But nevertheless, it seems to be that the bracha of Avos is very important in Shmona Esrei, and it's even ma'akev in kavanah, at least l'chachila, according to the Rambam. And the question is why? Why is the first bracha so important? Different mafarshim have different explanations. One approach is that this bracha has many different important elements. The Aruch HaShulchan, for example, explains you find that this bracha begins with the word Baruch and ends with the word Baruch. You have many shemos of Hashem, Elokeinu, Elokei Avosenu. It's Samach L'Gulas Yisrael, has Michas Gula Tfila, and even in itself, it has mentions and references to Geula, Mevi Goel, Nevin Am, Lachmo, Be'ava. So it's a very important bracha, and because of its importance, we require an added level of kavana for this bracha. The Mishnah Berurah echoes that idea in Sifkat and Gimel on that simon. He says in Brachas Avos we have a seder shvach shamakom. We have a reference to mentioning the praises of Hashem, and therefore it's inappropriate to have thoughts that are distracting one from mentioning this bracha and saying this bracha properly. The Eliyahu Rabba, again highlighting the importance of the different elements of this bracha, mentions in the name of the Avudraham that because we mentioned Gedulas Hashem v'zchus Rishonim u'Geulas Achronim. We mentioned Hashem, the zchus of the Avos, and the ultimate Geula. It's something that we should focus on. The Kabbalah says there are 42 letters in this bracha corresponding to the Shem Hashem, which has 42 letters. Again, reiterating the point that this is a very important bracha, has a lot of important ideas. That's one approach as to why we need Kavana for this first bracha. A second approach as to why we need Kavana for this bracha is because it's the beginning of a section. As we mentioned beforehand, Shmona Esrei is divided into three sections, Shvach, Bakasha, and Hodah. And the Bach quotes the Smak, who says that not only do we need Kavanah for Birchas Avos, we really should have Kavanah for the Bracha of Modim. And he explains that Birchas Avos is the beginning of the first section of Shvach, and therefore we need extra Kavanah for that Bracha. And Modim is, even though it's not the beginning, it seems to be, he explains, it's the essential part of the last section, which is Hodah, and therefore you need Kavana at those times. And that's as well the reason why we need Ishtachavaya as an aside, because we need to have a further Kavana for these brachos, and the act of bowing helps us focus and have intentions for what we're saying. It seems to be we don't need Kavana for the middle brachos. Those don't seem to have the same gravity as the beginning and end. Other Mefarshim take this idea that not only is Birchas Avos the beginning of the section of Shvach, it's really just the beginning of Shmona Esrei. The Drashos Ibn Shu'eb and Parshas Veschanan, one of the Rishonim, explains that ideally we should have Kavanah for the entire first section of Shvach, the first three brachos of Shmona Esrei, because they're really the initiation of Tefillah in general. And if one can't have Kavanah for all three, at least have Kavanah for the first bracha, because that's the beginning of Shmona Esrei. In the language of the Safas Paneach, called Osa Al Das Rishona Hu Osa. We have the idea by Kavanos, if the first act of the Avoda is done with Kavanah, that everything else follows through, and we assume the Kavanah of the next acts is associated with that first act. So the same applies to the brachos by Shmona Esrei. If the first bracha is with kavana, we assume the rest of the brachos are associated with that kavana that one initiated with. More than just the fact that Birchas Avos contains many important ideas, and more than just the idea that it's the beginning of Shmona Esrei, the bracha of Avos contains an element which essentially requires kavana. The Rav Avraham ben Harambam in Siman Ayin Tes in his Tshuvos explains that the reason why we need kavana, at least for Birchas Avos, is precisely the same reason why we need kavana for the first parasha of Shema. He explains that just like by Shema, we have a responsibility to have extra kavana because there's a kabbalas al-machol shemaim. The same applies by the bracha of Avos because it too contains kabbalas al-machol shemaim. This obviously is reminiscent to the other tshuva of Rav Ben Rambam in his tshuvas in Birchas Avram, Simon Lev Medallon, who explains it, that the kavana of Shema and the kavana of Tefillah are both kavana l'kabal al-machol shemaim. And as an aside, that's why the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah, when he explains what the kavana of tefillah is, he doesn't say, what's the kavana of tefillah per se? He says, what is the kavana, without explaining what the kavana is for. And that's because this kavana of remembering and being omer lifnei ha-melech is not limited to tefillah. It's limited to Shema because they're effectively the same type of kavana, both kavana of omachos shemayim. And the omachos shemayim that we're experiencing when we see avos, explains Rabbeinu Manoach, is that we mentioned that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the mamtzias olam, he created the world. And also we relate his Ashkacha. And by discussing the Avos and the bris that they've established with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that leads the way and paves the path for us to have this special interaction with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, both recognizing him as the creator, but also him as being Mashgiach. And that's effectively the same thing that we say during Shema Yisrael, Shalom Kino, Shema Chad, as we mentioned, recognizing both Hashem as the creator and Elokeinu, the one who's guiding our lives. And we're mekabel upon ourselves to submit ourselves before HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that experience. The question really is, why do we mention Avos at all in Shmona Esrei? On a simple level, explains the Rokeach, is because the Avos were Misakin Tefillah, and therefore we're commemorating by these Avos is Takana, by initiating, mentioning their names in the beginning of our Shmona Esrei. However, the Kuzari deepens this understanding and explains that the reason why we mention the Avos is to recognize not only the Milos Avos, the great character traits that they had, but the fact that because of their unique status and development, they've established a bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that continues with us, ultimately leading to the ultimate Geula of Klal Yisrael. And that recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in our world, not only guiding us, but being our God because of this bris, recognizing that He's our Moshel and Mitzaveh, something that is very important as we engage in our tefillah. And Rav Hirsch adds, it's not just a recognition of Hashem as our ruler and commander, it's us recognizing that we are emulating our forefathers by joining in that bris, similar to the idea of, basically, Rav Ben Rabim's idea of B'mikabal Omach HaShemayim. We're joining in to join in the mission of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, joining in to this and fulfilling His Ratzon. And that's what we're initiating in the Bracha of Avos. Other Mefarshim, as we've explained in the introduction to Shmona Esrei, explained that the reason why we're mentioning Avos is to basically introduce the rest of davening and give us a certain mindset to the bakashas that we're going to be making. As the Rashba explains in his parish Agados on Shas, the reason why we have Shvach before bakasha is to give us a mindset of how to approach the bakashas. And by mentioning the Avos in the first bracha, recognizing the chesed that Hashem has done to them and done to us. And that primes us to recognize that we're only able to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for anything, and no one else can give us what we want except for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One also notices that when we begin the bracha of Birchas Avos, we bow in the beginning and at the end. The Beis Elokim of the Mabit in Shahar Tefillah, Perek Ches, explains that the reason why we need to bow is to signify to ourselves that we should humble ourselves when we recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In this bracha, we're mentioning a lot of shvachos to Hashem, and this honor of being able to be mishabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu is itself an honor that we ourselves are not really privileged. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the opportunity, but we should recognize for ourselves we're not fitting for that opportunity. Adam Mefarshim, as we've explained earlier, note that the reason why we have to bow is to enhance our kavana, and the bracha of Avos, as well as the bracha of Modim, both require bowing to allow us to actualize in a physical way the feelings of subjugation and humility, and that allows us to have a better mindset when we say these brachos. Rav Hirsch explains that the reason why we bow is to show obedience, as we're initially pledging before HaKadosh Baruch Hu to serve Him and fulfill His will. That's the meaning of the word Baruch, and that's what we're actualizing when we say Baruch Ata Hashem. We're expressing that in actions. Potentially, they might be connected to the idea of Kabbalah Samach HaShemayim. We're initiating by subjugating ourselves to the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and pledging ourselves to be obedient to Him. We mention the Avos, we mention the Avos in detail. The Torah explains this is based off the Pasuk, the Medrash, which says, all refer to different Avos. Is referring to Elokei Avram. Vavarechacha is referring to Elokei Yitzchak. Agadol Shemecha is referring to Elokei Yaakov. But nevertheless, we conclude with only Magin Avram because it says in the Pasuk, Vehei Bracha. You, Avram alone, will be the Bracha. We're not going to mention all the other Avos at the end. When looking at the Bracha, one notices that there is a word missing. Normally in a Bracha, we say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. We mention the Malchus of Hashem. But here, there is no explicit reference to Malchus. The Torah explains that there is effectively Malchus in this bracha. We say Elkei Avraham. Avram was the one who brought Malchus into the world, made the world recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So effectively, when we say Elkei Avraham, we're as if we're saying that Hashem is the Melech. Other Hirushim explain that Hakel HaGadol HaGibor VaNara is an expression of Malchus, recognize Hashem's majesty and greatness in this world. That's the same idea as Malchus, the same way the Mefarshim explained on Rosh Hashanah, we say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, even though there's no explicit reference to Malchus, that Pasuk is also included in the Malchus Brachos, the Bracha of Malchus in Rosh Hashanah. The Ritva explains, at the end of the Bracha, we say, Melech Ozer Moshiach Magen, we say Hashem is the King, who's the Helper and Savior, that is potentially as well a reference to Malchus. But even if we give all these different interpretations, it's still strange why the Takana was not to explicitly mention Malchus in the Bracha. The Meiri explains the reason why Chazal didn't want to do this explicitly, didn't want to mention Malchus Hashem explicitly, is because since the Bracha was Niskan, was instituted to commemorate the Avos who instituted Tefillah, and we're trying to mention their Zuchios, during their time, there wasn't a Malchus Mufarsemis. There wasn't an explicit Malchus in the world. It was only later on, when Klal Yisrael was established, that the Malchus Hashem was more recognized. And therefore, we don't want to explicitly mention it, the idea of Malchus, in this bracha. But nevertheless, we have a remiza to it, similar to the Ritva's interpretation at the end, where we say, Melech Ozer Moshiach Magin. The Meiri offers another interpretation, and this is quoted by the Rokeach, quoted in the Beis Yosef in Or Chaim Siman Reish Dalet, who explains that not every bracha is the same. If a bracha was to commemorate an act of creation, or for a mitzvah, or for Hanah, that requires recognizing Malchus Hashem. However, but for tefillos and bakashas rachamim, one does not require Malchus. Now, the Rishonim don't explain what the reason for this is. The Bach quotes the Rokeach, who understands that the difference might be connected to the idea, is there a chiv to say the bracha or not? By tefillah, you don't have a chiv to daven. It's your initiative to daven. By brachas hamitzvah, Brachos Hoda, we have to react towards something and we have a chiyuv to respond. That's why we require Malchus. But that doesn't really get to the core of what the reason why Malchus is necessary. Potentially, the entire reason why we have to mention Malchus is to associate the experience that we're having to HaKadosh Baruch and recognize it in the context of Hashem's Malchus. So that makes sense if we're required to make a bracha in reaction to something. And therefore, in response to that reaction, we have to connect it to Malchus Hashem. But if a person is making a bracha because of his own initiative, and it's something that ideally one should always be doing, as the example of tefillah, maybe there might be a reason why one does not need to say Malchus Hashem, because it's already implied, the fact that he's initiating towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu a bracha. Obviously, he's referring to Hashem and recognizing who this entity is, and that's why he's asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Another interpretation why we don't mention Malchus is quoted by the Rebbe Nikkar, and he interestingly suggests that there's no malchus because it's connected to the geula that we mentioned earlier, the bracha that we mentioned beforehand. And while he doesn't explain exactly why this doesn't necessitate malchus, it seems to be that the Ribbon Yekar is understanding that the initial bracha that we recited at Birchas Yotzer, where we mentioned Baruch Atah Hashem al Kinu Malchalam Yotzer Or Uvrei Choshech, where we initiate Malchus Hashem, and that continues into Avaraba, because it's Smucha L'Chaverta, as well as V'yatzi V'nachon, which is also Smucha L'Chaverta, and ultimately, because of Smichas Kulu Tefillah, we connect that awareness of Malchus Hashem to Tefillah itself. That might be the reason why we don't have to mention Malchus, because it's all connected to the first bracha that we mentioned in Birchas Kriya Shema. Again, this might be reminiscent to the theme that we mentioned beforehand, that Tefillah and Birchas Kriya Shema are connected, potentially, again, eliciting the idea that it's all part of one unit of Kabbalah Al Malchus Shemaim. And that is the reason why we don't mention Malchus, because it's already implied in the brachas that we've mentioned beforehand, and that now we're bringing forward during this bracha as well. There is a pasuk that we recite before this bracha, and that's the pasuk of Hashem Sosai Tiftach Ofia Giti Lasacha. The source for saying this bracha is quoted in the Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara says, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that he would say this pasuk, and it's considered, from the Gemara's language, as a tefillah arichta damya. It's not an additional pasuk that is mafsik between the geula and tefillah. It's part of the tefillah itself. And the question is, why is it part of the tefillah itself? Rabbi Yonah suggests that if you look at this pasuk in context of Tehillim, it's really a explanation of what the function of tefillah is. David HaMelech in that Tehillim Nun Aleph is explaining and describing the sin that he had with Bathsheba, and he did it b'mezid, he was chatav b'mezid, and David HaMelech is explaining that since he did it b'mezid, he can't bring a karbon, but at least he could bring a tefillah towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why he's saying Hashem Sevzai Tiftach Ofi Agit Tasecha, meaning to say that I'm preparing myself to daven in the place of a karbon because I can't bring one now. And Rabbi Yonah explains that's the exact same idea that we're saying nowadays. Well, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash and we can't bring a karbon. We're saying Hashem, allow us to bring a karbon now in the form of a tefillah, and it'll let it be miskal before you. In terms of halacha, the nature of this pasuk is actually disputed. Is it really part of tefillah, or is it just not a hafsaka of smichas kulu and tefillah? The Be'er Halacha in Or HaChaim Kuf Yud Aleph on Sif Beis discusses this question. He seems to assume that it's not really part of tefillah, but it's something that you could say and wouldn't be considered a hafsaka between the gula and tefillah experience. Interesting to note, however, that even though it might not be tefillah mamish, there's still an Indian to say this pasuk out loud during the Chazar Sashatz, suggesting that maybe it might be more than just a heter, a pasuk which is allowed to be mentioned between gula and tefillah. Maybe it's part of the tefillah itself, and that's why I have to say it out loud as part of the Chazar Sashatz. So in light of this introduction, let's delve into the structure and interpretation of this bracha. There are five parts of this bracha. The first pasuk, Hashem Sosai Tiftach, is the introduction to express proper prayer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The second section is the first sentence of the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, where we mention the Avos, we mention Hashem as the God of our forefathers. The third section is where we describe Hashem as powerful and who performs chesed, Kel HaGadol until Kone HaKol. The fourth section is a recognition of Hashem's covenant, where he does chesed to the Avos, and that is his chus to allow for the ultimate redemption of the children of the Avos, us. And the fifth section is the conclusion of the bracha, where we recognize Hashem as the protector of our people. So delving into the details of this structure, the first section is the pasuk Hashem Sosai Tiftach Ofi Agit Lasecha, an introduction to Shmona Esrei. We say, Hashem, open my mouth, Ufi Agit Lasecha, let my mouth express Tehillah. The Avudraham explains that on a simple level, we're basically asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to formulate before HaKadosh Baruch Hu the proper prayers and intentions before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he notes the word Hashem is in the Lashon of Anus, in contrast to the Shem Yukhe Vavke. And the difference, explains the Avudraham, is that Lashon Anus always represents a interaction between man and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Shem Yukhe Vavke denotes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beyond our comprehension, and therefore it's very hard for us to interact and talk before HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that awareness. However, when we mention Adnus, we're recognizing that we're able to approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu and even talk to him in the language of Tefillah. Frisch explains that if you look at the Pasuk in the context of Tehillim, the Lashon of Anus, of Hashem Sivasai Tiftach, is David HaMelech recognizing that even though I've sinned with Bathsheba, I'm aware and confident that I'll be able to call HaKadosh Baruch Hu my master again, and thus be able to be a servant for him. And David HaMelech is saying, I hope to have the ability to serve you now and express praises before you. And that's what we're saying during Davening, the initiation to our tefillah, is that we're accepting upon ourselves HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that we're asking with that recognition to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the tefillah and having that extend throughout the rest of our life. We then move into the actual bracha. We say in the second section a blessing of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, recognizing Hashem as the God of our fathers. Again, the reason why we mentioned the Avos, aside from the fact that they were the ones who initiated tefillah, aside from the Kuzari's explanation that it's a recognition of Hashem's relationship and our bond with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rav Frisch explains that the Avos were the one who taught us the Mesoras Hashem. They are the ones who taught us about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're relaying that information to our lives, continuing in the Mesorah. It's similar to the idea of Shema Yisrael. As Rav Frisch explains, we don't have a clear awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the same way as our forefathers had at Har Sinai, and we're just simply carrying that idea, that tradition, forward to the next generation, and that's part of our Kabbalah Al Malchus Shemayim. Arguably, that's the same idea here. We're mentioning the Avos as a way to invoke that idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, carrying it forward into our lives, and using that idea to submit ourselves before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As an aside, the overall connection to this actual subsection of mentioning the forefathers is the recognition of Hashem throughout our history. And that's correlative to actually the first section of Pesukim de Zimra, of Hodu, where we talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu always being there for us, always protecting us. And that those echoes come into the forefront when we initiate this aspect of the Baruch of Avos. So you mentioned Baruch Ata Hashem, blessed are you Hashem, where we submit ourselves before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we ask for Hashem to be recognized, for the Shefa to come down into this world. We say Elokeinu, our God, Elokei Avosinu, the God of our forefathers, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, the God of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. The Mabit explains that we're emphasizing each and every Av, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, even though we said Elokeinu, Elokei Avosinu, collectively, to emphasize that each Av, in his own way, had a unique zechus for Hashem to be expressed in their lives and develop a close connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, enabling their children, us, to have their relationship with Hashem as well. That's both on an individual level and on a totality level, as the collective Avos enabled us to have this relationship with Hashem. We mention Elkeinu, Elkei Avoseinu, our God, and the God of our forefathers. The Ilan Tefillah in Achron on the Siddur explains that it's interesting to note that the language and the order is first us, our recognition of Hashem, then our father's recognition of Hashem. And that's a lesson in just Avodas Hashem in general. We have a responsibility to understand ourselves and develop for ourselves a relationship to Hashem. Anything beyond that, or things that we need to learn from, we take from our forefathers and we rely on them as truths as well, aside from our own perceptions of reality. We find this many places in Tefillah, this order, Hashem Melech, Hashem Melech, Hashem Yimloch. We say Hashem is the king now, Hashem will be the king, Hashem was the king. We first mention our current perception of Hashem, and we then reflect back. After discussing this initial recognition of Hashem as the God of our forefathers, we then move into a description of Hashem as powerful and nevertheless expressing kindness. This is obviously a general praise before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As we mentioned before, that's the reason why some of Hashem say you need to have specific kavanos during this tefillah. Refresh explains that the discussions of Hashem's power and yet his chesed is to emphasize that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu is lofty and great and mighty, he nevertheless has a connection with us. And that's a great introduction to our tefillah process, where we recognize that we have this bond with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he's interacting with us. It's also the same reason why the Rabbim and Rabbim explains this bracha is Kabbalah Al Malchus Shemayim. We're mentioning Hashem as the powerful creator, and nevertheless, he's mashkiach over us, he's involved in our lives, and we're responsible as well to fulfill that ratzon.
of Hashem as He's involved in our lives and interacting with us. So we mention Kel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vanvra, the God who's great, powerful, and mighty. This is found from a pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu himself relates in Dvarim Yud Zayin, this exact language. The Ramchal explains that you note that there are three languages, three names that were mentioning of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hagadol, Hagibor, Vanvra. And those correlate to the three Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Again, threading the Avos with their connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbeinu Bechayi, in his parish in Shmos, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Vav, explains that this language of Akel, Hagadol, Hagibor, the Hanora, all represent the Yigam Amidos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Akel is just Hashem as the ultimate entity, Rishon, without any specific Mida, but then it's expressed as Hagadol, which is the Midas HaChesed, Hagibor is Midas HaDin, and Nora is Midas HaRachmim. Those add up all together, assuming that each Mida has four different subsections into 12 plus Akel, which is 13. You have Yugim Lamidos, recognizing Hashem's expressions in this world. He then mentioned that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Akel Yon, He's the God All on High, who's Gomel Chasadim Tovim, the Kunei HaKol. He does Chesed and He is acquiring of everything. Malbim explains on the Chumash that the words Kelion and Kunei HaKol go together. Hashem is both the creator, Kelion, the first source of everything in all reality. And nevertheless, even though He's the creator, He's also involved in our lives. He's Kunei HaKol. He's Kunei Shemayim Aretz. Everything is in His domain. And He's manig, He's guiding the world as He is the possessor of the world. Refresh takes this even further when we say Hashem is the Gomel Chasadim Tovim, we're recognizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacts with us and He does kindness with us. And therefore, there's no need to interact with an intermediary to communicate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can approach Hashem directly. This is our recognition of our bond and our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moving into the exact details, when we say Hashem is the Gomel Chasadim Tovim, Refresh explains, as a general context, this is a reference, an echo to the quotations of Ashrei, where we emphasize Hashem's chesed and hashkacha over us, over humanity, and this is being reflected again in this aspect, this section of the bracha of Avos. The Ribbon Ikar notes that the language of Gomel Chasadim Tovim is a reference to a pasuk in Yeshayahu Samach, Perek Samach Gimel Pasuk Zayin, where the Navi says, Gomlom Berachamav Ukarov Chasadav Hashem, you take care of them with in his mercy and according to the manifold of His chasadim. And the Malbim explains that the word rachamim and chesed have different connotations. Gomel berachamav is a reaction to someone suffering. When one has rachamonos over someone, they recognize the pain of the person and react to that pain. Chesed is not a reaction, it's just a natural expression of giving. And that's what of Rov Chasadav, according to the manifold of one's chesed, not according to the other person's feelings or suffering. And in this context, it seems to be the Ribbon Ikar is explaining Hashem is expressing both rachamim and chesed in trying to interact with us. When we mention Hashem does chasadim tovim, good chasadim, it's a little strange because chasadim are by definition good. What is the good aspect of the chasadim? Avudram explains the word tov in this context just means better. Hashem does better chesed than any human can do. The Iyun Tefillah explains that the good means it's actually good. Hashem knows exactly what is good. And how does He know what's good? Because Hashem is the Kel Elyon. Hashem knows what's right. He created the world. He knows exactly what is good for man. And therefore that chesed is reflective of what is ultimately good for that person. After discussing Hashem's as the creator, He interacts with the world. We then recognize Hashem's covenant with the forefathers, with our forefathers, and that ultimately leads to our redemption. As a general background, the first notes that, again, echoing Pesukei Dezimra's ideas, this aspect of Geula is the reference to the rest of Pesukei Dezimra, where we talk about the progression of Bnei Yisrael and the rest of the world to this ultimate state of Geula. Now we're echoing that as well in the last part of this bracha. So we mentioned, Hashem remembers the kindness of the forefathers and brings a redeemer to their children for the sake of His name with love. as a general sense, if you notice the language in Hebrew, this is written in the present tense. But the Avodah notes that it's both a reference to the past, the present, as well as the future. Hashem interacts with kindness to redeem Bnei Israel in the past. He does it now to save us from the galus, and in the future will bring us to the ultimate redemption. In terms of the remembering of the Chaste Avos, who are these Avos exactly? So the Avodah explains, following in with the theme of the rest of the bracha, it's seemingly referring to the Avos, the forefathers. Hashem remembers the bris of the Avos, and he continues that bris going forward. Alternatively, the Avodah explains this chesed of the Avos is not referring to the Avos, the forefathers of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. It's referring to the Avos who left Mitzrayim. The fact that they left Mitzrayim, lechlech achra b'mimba b'eretz lo zeruah, they had so much faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that was the expression of chesed. And Hashem remembers that and continues that going forward. And that's his chus for the geula. We then mention Hashem is mevi goel v'nei v'nehem, l'man shemo. Hirsch explains that the language l'man shemo is connected back to l'vnei v'nehem. The children of the forefathers are serving Hashem l'man shemo. They're fulfilling the same exact duty as their forefathers have done. They're following the legacy, following the Mesorah of their forefathers. And that is the schus that causes HaKadosh Baruch Hu to express and bring the ultimate geula. Following in with this interpretation, the Avodah explains the language bi'ahava means HaKadosh Baruch Hu simply is expressing his love towards us in bringing the geula. Arguably an expression of the fact that we are committed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem reciprocates by expressing that love. The Avodah gives a different interpretation of what the wording L'man Shemo means, and he explains that while Hashem could bring the Geula L'vnei V'nehem B'schus the Chesed of the Avos, even if there's no Z'chus Avos, Hashem is going to redeem B'nei Yisrael L'man Shemo for the sake of Hashem's name, B'marbe Kvot Shemaim, even without the Z'chus Avos. And that's what the Yun Tfilah explains is the last word of the section of Be'ahava, meaning even though we don't have the Zechios of the Avos, and Hashem is only doing it L'man Shemo, nevertheless, and despite the fact that there's no Zechios, Hashem still is expressing that love towards his nation. We then conclude after discussing Hashem interacting with the Bnei Yisrael and bringing the ultimate Geulah to the Bnei Yisrael as they're following in the footsteps of their forefathers, we conclude with a blessing, recognizing Hashem as a protector. We recognize Hashem as the Melech Ozer B'Shiyam. Again, we mentioned the idea of Malchus, ultimately, seemingly a culmination to the Bracha. We finally recognize Hashem and are able to fully express the Malchus, his interactions in this world. We add Hashem as the Ozer B'Shiyam, the helper, savior, and shield. While these languages seem very similar, the Drashos Ibn Shu'eb, as we mentioned beforehand, notes that all the words in Shemona Esrei have a specific meaning. And he explains in this context, it means sometimes while we recognize Hashem as the king, not every king is able to be a savior. But Hashem is able to be a savior. And while not all saviors, while all saviors try to help people out, sometimes they could be overpowered by other powers. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate Moshe Elmagi, and Hashem will ultimately protect the people who he's trying to save from all the other forces because he's ultimately in control of everything. So that's a recognition of Hashem's ultimate dominion and control over the world. And Rafersh concludes that the reason why we're mentioning the fact that Hashem is in control of the world in context of the Avos is exactly this point. From the fact that we're following in the footsteps of the Avos, taking responsibility to carry their legacy forward, their Mesorah forward, their ideas forward, that's what's going to allow HaKadosh, or enable HaKadosh Baruch Hu to reflect upon us that Yeshua, that protection as well. We then conclude with the bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, Magin Avraham, Blessed are you Hashem, the shield of Avraham. And the first explains that the word blessed means pledge. We're pledging to follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu in light of our awareness of Avraham Avinu's interaction and relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avraham Avinu said, Hineni, here I am, I want to fulfill the Ratzon Hashem despite its challenges. Every Jew must also approach life with that awareness and willingness to submit himself to serve Hashem, and that will elicit a response from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be a magen, a protection for him. So just to put everything into review, we initiate the Shemoneh Esrei with Hashem, we ask Hashem for us to be able to express the tefillah properly, recognize Hashem is able to, we're able to have a relationship with him in the Lashon of Anus, and we recognize that we're able to view HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a master, where we're able to submit ourselves before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and fulfill His Ratzon. And with that awareness, we then move into the bracha. We bless Hashem as He is the God of our forefathers. We recognize that we have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Schos of the Avos. They're the ones who initiated our tefillah. And we're carrying forward the tradition of the Avos and fulfilling that Ratzon as well in our own lives. We recognize each individual Av as an entity which allowed for that relationship to be developed, as well as the collective Avos in their interaction with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu paved the way for us to have that relationship with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. We then initiate praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu as powerful and kind, both recognizing Him as the Kel Elyon, Gomel Chasidim Tavim, Rukunei HaKol, both the creator of the world, but also interacts with us as He's the possessor of the world, and He interacts with us with Chesed. And then we move to the fourth section, where we recognize that as Hashem is in control of the world, He remembers the Schos Avos and brings us redemption to us, the children of the forefathers, both as we are fulfilling the will of Hashem through the Mesorah of our parents and our grandparents, and carrying that legacy forward ultimately to the Geula. Alternatively, even if we're not Zocha to that Zuchos Avos, Hashem still will redeem us and nevertheless express Ava towards that relationship he has with us. And with that, we conclude Melech Ozer Moshiach. Again, the fifth section, where we recognize Hashem as the King, and He's ultimately the one who's going to protect us because He's in total control over all reality. And that's a reflection of our relationship that we have with Him, following the footsteps of the Avos. And we pledge, Baruch Atah Hashem Magen Avraham, we pledge in light of the recognition of Avram's commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his willingness to serve Hashem amidst all the nisyonos, we too commit ourselves to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, following in the footsteps of Avram Avinu and attaining that protection from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So again, this is a proper introduction to the Shemona Esrei, the first bracha, as we recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu in His various traits, His interactions with us, the bond that He has with us, and also our commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like the Rav Ben Ram says, the first step of Shemona Esrei is to first be Mekabel Olam HaShemayim, and with that leads towards the rest of the brachos of the tefillah.